Listen, here's the MO of the gods at Allure. They try to get you to make a permanent decision because of a temporary setback. You get into fight with your spouse. What? Do you want to act like that? Then get out of here. And all of a sudden, you made a permanent decision about a temporary setback. And the gods at Allure want to bring you to that point.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. Do you ever struggle in your Christian walk, trying to avoid the distractions of life, things that are not necessarily sinful, but that take your eyes off of what's really important? Well, if you don't keep your eyes on the road, you're likely to leave some paint on the guardrail of life, and that can be painful. Here is Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, The Gods That Allure.
Let me ask you a question as you take out your notes. How easily distracted are you? I don't know about you, but I get distracted pretty easily. And sometimes it's pretty much to my destruction, as was the day when I was driving up the street in Hilo. I had the church van. Now, one of the things I hate in life are spiders. Now, I just hate those things, especially cane spiders. They're not too much over here, but in Hilo, I mean, these things look like mutated tarantulas. And they come to eat you alive. Those things are huge. They have hair like they haven't shaved their legs, you know? And it's the ugliest thing. Well, I'm driving up this street. It's a residential area. And one of these things comes out from the visor, crawls along the visor, and just drops down with this silken thread, you know? And you see this thing looking at me, and it's just like it's got demonic eyes. It's looking at you. And so the first reaction is you step on the brake, right? But when you step on the brake, what happens? The thing came at me like this. So I pushed on the gas, and so it went away. But then it starts a pendulum motion. So I'm swatting this thing to get it out of the way. What I don't realize, though, as this spider is distracting me, I am drifting on the street towards parked cars along the side. And so as I'm battling with this spider, I all of a sudden hear this kaboom, and I run straight into a parked car. And man, when I come to my senses again, the first thing I'm thinking about is, where's that spider? What was that lady parking her car on the side of the street anyway for? But you know, I thought, I wonder how many times the enemy allures us and distracts us, because his end is to steal and to kill and to ultimately destroy. He uses tools of distraction so that we will settle for less than what God has for us. You see, on one hand, he'll use the lures that glitter, the lures that would pull us away, the lure for more, bigger, better. But on the other hand, I notice that he uses other kinds of lures that are equally as devastating. These are the more common lures on this side. Lures that are painted in grays and drab colors of discouragement, depression, an unwillingness to go on anymore, which turns then to anger, and we bail out of relationships. We bail out of what could have been something wonderful. But he's allured us, he's pulled us, distracted us with our own character flaws of anger and a sense of being susceptible to just bailing out and quitting. You see, on one side it's glitter, on the other side it's drab grays. But listen very carefully, the devil doesn't give a rip what side of the boat you go off, so long as you go off. And then we settle for less than what God has for us, because the gods that have allured have won. How quickly we bail out, and we do that all the time. We get angry, don't we, or get depressed, and then we just bail out of what God could have given us as that would have been good. And sometimes when we have a tendency to get distracted or discouraged or easily depressed about anything that doesn't go my way, anything that I don't understand, I come to this wrong conclusion. That's it. I'm finished. And we drop out. And what God has designed to be good for us, we actually reject, as was in the case of this one Portuguese woman that came home. And when she came home, her house was ransacked. Someone had gone through, some thief had gone through. Oh, she said, That's it. I just finished. I quit life. I quit. And she said, well, okay, I'll call the police. So she dialed 912. And she said, wrong number. So she dialed again. She got the police. She said, I need someone for help me. Well, the police could just hear her depression, so they called to find the unit that was closest to her house, and there was a canine unit with like sniffing dogs, so they said, you better get over there right away to help this lady. She sounds really depressed, like she's going to do something. And so quickly this guy shows up, knocks on her door, and she opens the door. Here's a policeman with his dog on the leash, and she just screamed, oh no, Jesus, first my house gets ransacked. Did I dial the wrong number? And then they send me one blind policeman. See, if we're so quick to drop out, even what God designs as good we'll reject. We come to these conclusions, and it just works against us. I want to tell you another story about that. You like try? We got time, no? It's like my friend Manuel Souza. He has this anger problem, depression problem, but he doesn't take care of it, and it's just ruined so many relationships. But all of a sudden he gets involved with this holy girl, and he just falls headlong in love. But no sooner had he fallen headlong, head over heels for this holy girl, all of a sudden she strikes up a relationship with another guy, Japanese guy. And so Manuel gets so mad, he gets depressed, depressed. So he goes, and in one of his fits of anger, he goes out and buys a gun, traces him down, finds him in this restaurant. And he comes in and he says, I'm so mad at you. I'm so mad. And he pulled out this gun. He says, that's it. And then all of a sudden, this grief sweeps over him. So he puts his gun to his head. That's it. He says, I'm going to kill myself. And the girlfriend says, stop, Manuel. Don't do it. Don't do it. He says, shut up. You're next. See, what happens is we're so quick to bail out, so quick to give up, and it works against you, and it messes up your future and your life, and the gods that allure are there to do that. Some of you thought it was a real story I was telling it, and you're going, oh, no. But the gods that allure are on every side. I mean, how many of us may have been allured away from what God really wanted for you? That would have been so eternal. I mean, I talked to a guy who after 45 years now, he said, Wayne, 45 years ago, I knew God had called me to be a missionary, to do something eternal. But then someone offered me a job and it was pretty good, so I jumped into it, and you know what? I got caught up in that. And now, he said, 45 years later, I still regret that I didn't do what God had put on my heart. And I thought, oh, the gods that allure are so active to pull us away from what God has for each of us. On the other hand, there are some others that have just a great relationship beginning, a great opportunity of some kind, and then anger sets in. We get mad about something. Ah, this didn't go well. That didn't go well. That's it. Then I'm finished. And what happens is, listen, just like that suicide thing, here's the MO of the gods that allure. They try to get you to make a permanent decision because of a temporary setback. That's it. He gets you to make a permanent decision because of a temporary setback. You get into fight with your spouse. What? Do you want to act like that? Then get out of here. That's it. I'm finished. And all of a sudden, you made a permanent decision about a temporary setback. See, that's the MO. And it's like suicide. Suicide is a permanent decision because of a temporary setback that could have been resolved. And the gods that allure want to bring you to that point so that they allure you or trick you or deceive you into making that decision. That's why the scripture at the top of our notes says this. Let's read it together out of Deuteronomy 11. Ready? Go. Beware that your hearts are not deceived and that you do not turn away and serve other gods and worship them or bow down to them or do what they're saying. Be very careful. You say, well, who do these gods that allure go after? Here's the target. Would you write in number one? The target, it's not those that are going bad already. It's not the bad people. Here it is. The target is he goes after those who are making their paths straight. Huh? Yep. You see, the ones that are going the wrong way, he's already greased their slide. He doesn't need to mess with them very much. But he's going to go after those that are trying their best to make their paths straight. Did you know that you become a target? He's going to come after you because you're the one that's going to make an eternal difference. Let's read what it talks about sin in the form of this one who's a prostitute, but it's really just talking about sin. Let's read it. Ready? Go. The woman of folly is boisterous, calling to those who are making their paths straight. Yeah. Going to go after you. Sometimes we say, how come I'm really trying my best to follow God? How come this happens? How come I go to this through this financial setback and this and that? Listen, when you're doing something right, you will get the ire of the devil raised. You're doing something eternal. You're going to do something that makes a difference with your life. You think the devil's just going to sit back? No, that's just a part of it though. It's okay. The Lord says, don't worry about that. Maybe it's not because you're doing something wrong. Maybe it's because you're finally doing something right. When we're doing something wrong, we make our own consequences for ourselves because of our stupidity and the wild seeds that we sow. But when you're doing something right, the enemy gets riled up. But it's all right. God says, I'll give you the edge and you're going to make a difference. It's just like the game of football. Let's say that, you know, you're on the offense and your goal is to get that football across that end zone. Now the football, let's just call that faith of the gospel, your faith that you have to take to the end zone. Your calling, what God wants you to do. That's that football. Now on the other side of the scrimmage line are the defense. They're going to oppose you to stop you from any way getting that ball to where it should go. Now, when you're in the huddle over there and these guys are huddling, what's the defense doing? You think they're all riled up? Nah. When you're huddling, what are they doing? Nothing. They're over here just, hey, you just joke about that. Hey, how's it, mom? How's it? And they're just kind of talking, right? Because no big deal. You're in a huddle. And you're in a huddle, what are they doing? They're just kind of taking their time, no problem. But once you make a decision, break. And you put that hand on that ball because you're intending to do something with that ball, what happens to the defense? Oh, all of a sudden they get riled up, don't they? I will kill you. Isn't that right? But if all of a sudden you say, oh, Troy, we never finished yet our huddle. And you go back into the huddle, what do they do? Oh, okay. Hey, you know the other joke you were telling me about? And they just go, right? Isn't that right? They just kind of relax. But when you decide to do something, you take action, you're going to move forward, that's when the devil gets riled up. That's just a part of the game. It's all right. It's all right. But sometimes, here's what we do. As Christians, we don't like to get this stuff, you know, get problems. So we look at, oh, look them. They're just talking story and stuff when we're in the huddle. But when we get out of the huddle, they get all messed up. Yeah, okay. You know what we're going to do? What? Stay in the huddle. Okay. All right. How's it? God bless you. Yeah, let's pray about the huddle. Oh, God, I like the huddle. Okay, let's sing a hymn about the huddle. Huddle together, hallelujah. Huddle. And we just make our whole life in the huddle. The Lord's saying, no, you huddle to get a plan of action in order that you turn around and do something with it. You understand? Yeah, you're going to get the ire of the enemy, but it may mean you're doing something right for a change. John Wesley knew that. He was riding his horse one day, the story goes, and he said to himself, hey, wait a minute. It's been 2 weeks since someone's yelled at me or cussed at me or come against me or thrown anything at me while I was speaking. It's been 2 weeks. He said, oh, God. He said, am I falling out of your grace? Am I doing something wrong? Is there unconfessed sin in my life? He stopped his horse, story goes, and he got on his knees and said, Lord, if there's anything you need to take out of me, Lord, do it. Lord, I haven't had anyone be upset at me for weeks. Lord, something might be wrong in my life. All of a sudden, a guy on the other side of the street says, shut up, and throws a brick, and it just misses his head, whoo, falls on the ground next to John Wesley, and he stood up and said, thank you, God, I'm still in your grace. Yeah, you're going to be a target. That's all right. Just might mean that you're doing something right for a change. And then, would you write number two? And those who wish to live godly. That's the target. Those who wish to live godly. Mm-hmm. Let's read 2 Timothy 3:12. Ready? Go. Indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Yeah, underline, desire to live godly. So I desire to live godly. That's all right. So what does that mean? Would you write number three? That means you and me. Yep. Oh, we're not there yet. But if it wasn't your heart to make your path straight or to live godly, you wouldn't be sitting here. You wouldn't be in this place. But we desire to make our paths straight and to live godly in Christ Jesus. Well, then we're going to be warned now. You're going to be targets. But that's all right. Because God says, now watch how I bring victory. Now watch as we partner together. The battle will not be yours. The battle will be the Lord's. And then you start to see how great your Lord is. Let's read this scripture. Matthew 24, ready? Go. For false gods will rise up and perform great miraculous signs and wonders so as to deceive, if possible, even God's chosen ones. See, I have warned you. Yeah, okay, I got it. I'm going to go for it anyway. But how do I stay free from these gods that allure? How can I make sure that I keep my focus on what God's called me to do and that which is eternal so I don't get slumped into settling for a lesser dream and that which is temporal, that which will be passing and live a passing life? I want to live eternally. I want to live with an eternal assignment that's being lived out where I put my hand on the ball and I move forward in advancing God's purposes for my life. How can I yet stay free then of these? Well, you'll need to make three covenants we want to talk about today. Three covenants of an overcomer. Three covenants of someone who will win over these gods that allure. And a covenant is a binding pact that we make between two persons or entities. And here are the three covenants that you must make. And if you'll do these, it'll save you years. Number one, you must make a covenant with your eyes. Make a covenant with your eyes. What do you mean? Oh, yeah, we're beset with the gods that allure that's going to use what you see. You're going to pass by magazine racks, your eyes there. You got to make a covenant with them. Whether you go to a movie, you're going to see that. You've got porno everywhere, on internet now, on movies, on pay-per-view. It comes across as soft porno on the stations that we have and our televisions. It's everywhere. And your eyes are going to be that which will get lured by that. You go to Waikiki and you just walk around, your eyeballs start going, whoa, 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 we got to pull those buggers back here. Well, you say, well, Wayne, but they're everywhere. What do you have to do? Put blindfolds on? Masking tape on your eyes? No. It's the way you look. You've got to make a covenant against certain things. It's the heart with which you look. What do you mean? Let's see what Job said to us, the covenant that he made with his eyes. Let's read it. Ready? Go. I have made a covenant with my eyes that I would not look with lust upon a young woman. Yeah, it's the kind of ways that we look. Because it's everywhere around. And we have a tendency to look and then have a wrong heart. And then your heart gets deceived. Remember, he says, don't be deceived when you go into the land. The other gods will pull you away. Don't let your heart be deceived. Oh, it's easy to be deceived. A man spoke to me once and he said, you know, Wayne, but I work in a, as a Christian man, he said, but I work in a place where like there's babes everywhere. I said, what do you mean babes? I said, babes. I said, but you're married. I said, I know, but you know, I got eyes. I'm a red-blooded human being. And he says, sometimes these babes, like, you know, they need counseling and I got to counsel them. I said, be real careful. He said, yeah, I know, man, my heart, I just go, it goes out. I said, let me tell you about a counseling appointment that I had that the Lord showed up in and really spoke strongly to me. And I believe it's not only a word for me, but it's a word for you. So what was that? I said, I was once counseling a lady that was like a babe. She was a married woman. She was young, pretty, vivacious, but she was married to like a bimbo of bimbos. You know, this guy was so bad. And he would just condescend and just speak so disparagingly to her. And so she was broken in her spirit. And I thought, how could someone treat someone like this so bad? And she is pretty, and she was sitting there, and she was crying. And I just felt my heart going out for her, thinking, what kind of husband is like this? And my heart started going out for her. And it's like, you know, you're talking, all of a sudden you think, oh, wow, man, I'll comfort you, you know, I'll help you. And all of a sudden, it's like suspended animation. The Lord walked into the room, and as I'm talking, she's like, yeah. And everything just stopped. And it's like the Lord came between me and that lady, and he said, nah. And then he said something I'll never forget. He said this. He said, when you love people that you counsel, you make sure that you love them with my love and not yours. Because your love is corruptible. Mine is incorruptible. You love them not with your heart. Make sure you love them with my heart, because your heart is deceivable. Mine never will be. And when you counsel with my love and my heart. You reserve yours for your spouse, and then you use my heart for everyone that you meet. And then it's like all of a sudden he pulled out, and you know, and everything goes back into motion. But you know, isn't that true that like in a nanosecond, God can reveal to you a ream of stuff? Just revelation. Bang! Just that fast. I've never forgotten that. Let me speak to those, especially the men here. Men, make a covenant with your eyes. Make a covenant that you'll not look with lust upon a young woman. And when you speak to one, make sure, and I know this applies to both women and men, but let me just speak to the men. Make sure that you're loving the sisters with God's heart, not yours. Because yours is deceivable. His is not. Make sure that you're using his love, not yours, because your love is corruptible. His is an incorruptible love, the Bible says. And then we'll be able to minister without the gods that allure catching us in the eye. You have to be careful of that. Make a covenant with your eyes that you'll not gaze upon a woman with lust. You know, as I was reading this some time ago in Job, I remember it was right around that time that I'd gone on a fishing trip. And to just show you how when God's kids when we get allured by these gods that allure, how God feels about it. And I remember I was fishing off the shore, and I was going for ulua, and oh man, just early in the morning, you know, and no ulua, so I was hoping for papio, anything, no papio, so I was trying for mempachi later on, you know, no mempachi, so I was going for manini, anything, and no manini. I found myself running after ama crab. I was going to just catch something, I could eat them. Well, finally, I was just finished, you know, nothing, just pull ahead. So I started pulling my line. You know how you pull it like this? And just by mistake, I snagged a mempachi. Now, I don't know if you know what a mempachi is, but it's a reddish fish with these big babucha eyes. And so I snagged one, and I saw it, and I pulled it in. It's just a little thing. And I pull it in, but anything is better than nothing, you know. So I pulled this thing in, and what happened, though, when I pulled it in, I noticed that I had snagged it through the eye. Just caught it right in the eye, and the eye was sticking out like this with all of its veins and things sticking out. And it was the grossest thing you have ever seen. And, you know, a thing came up and said, oh, you caught my eye. No. Don't get carried away. Don't get carried away. He's got a good lesson here. And so I pulled this thing, and it was just so gross, and it was just hanging out. I thought, oh, that is so gross. I don't even want to eat this thing. Oh, that's gross. And it's almost as if the Lord just spoke to my heart and said, you know, that's the same thing that happens when you get caught by the eye and you're pulled into something. That's how it looks to me. When one of my sons gets snagged in the eye by the gods that allure, that's what it looks like to me. And boy, I thought when the, oh man, and ever since then, man, I start, oh, I pull my eye back in. It's almost like the gods that are alluring are just looking for an eye that can snag you by. So make a covenant with your eyes that you'll not gaze upon a woman with lust. That's just a covenant you must make. And you catch yourself. Nope, 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 I don't get to do that. Nope. And it'll keep you free from the gods that allure.
You have just heard part one of a message entitled The Gods That Allure by Pastor Wayne Cordero of New Hope Christian Fellowship. Thank you for joining us for Words of New Hope. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you a great day in the Lord and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? A place where passion and creativity thrive in a community pursuing something greater than themselves. That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where everyone knows everyone. Your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
No matter where you come from, New Hope Christian College is a place where you can come to find community.
There's a place for you at New Hope Christian College. For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.